Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. I could have carried it longer, but I said let's cut it short. I am Teron Davenport. You are now talking with TD. As always, Calvin Smith over there hitting those switches. We are going to continue to bring you more and more draft talk. Got some prospects this week that I really like. I mean, we have prospects every week that I really like. Let's be real about it. But this week, Devin Duvernay, wide receiver from Texas. We got Bryson Hopkins, a local flavor, Purdue tight end. And then we have another guy. Man, listen, the Florida Gators, first Louisville, then Florida Gators, edge defender Jonathan Greener. We are in good shape this week. But before we get into all that, I want to talk a little bit about this free agency thing. The Tom Brady situation has been beat to death. The Ryan Tannehill situation has been beat to death. So guess what? I'm not going to beat a dead horse. We're going to shift things. Well, last week we talked about Jack Conklin. This week I'm going to talk about the edge defenders. And, man, I had a post go up on ESPN.com about how they could address this position, they meaning the Titans. And one of the ways that I said they could do it is through the draft. And guess who we had in the post? Jonathan Greener, you know. But one of the free agents that I felt that they really need to focus on is Marcus Golden. And I feel that he could take the pass rush to the next level. And here's the thing. Last year, the Titans, they really wanted Za'Darius Smith. But they didn't want him to the tune of that 13 or I don't know. I forget what his contract is. They didn't want him to the tune of those that high of a deal. I think they could get Marcus Golden in the right ballpark. I think they could get him in that 13 million range. And just to be specific, as far as Za'Darius Smith is concerned, his contract, just so I can make sure that we have the numbers right, his contract gives him a higher average. It's 16.5 average. So they didn't want Smith to that tune of a $16.5 million average. I think at $13 million, I think they could get a guy like Marcus Golden. He'll come in and do really well in this scheme. You have to remember, he's excelled as a guy coming off the edge before, right? When he was with the Cardinals, we're talking about 12 and a half sacks, 22 quarterback hits. He's a guy that will generate forced fumbles. He's someone that also plays the run really well. What did he do this past year? 10 sacks, 27 QB hits. And that's a number that I think is going under the radar. Remember, this is a coaching staff that, yeah, they like the sacks, but that's not the end-all, be-all. They want to impact the quarterback. Marcus Golden is a guy that does that. If you look, 77% of his rushes, he was the first to get pressure on the quarterback. That's a significant number. It was 12th in the league. Number 13 was Harold Landry, right behind him, with 76%, I believe it was. Also, when you look at defending the run, he has 72 tackles. And if you look at, out of those 72 tackles, I think it was 37. Let me just peek the numbers to be certain. I think it was 37 solo tackles. So we're talking about a guy who is a complete player. And then not to mention, going to one of the conversations we had on Chase and TD, when we had Chuck Smith on the show, he talked about creating a pass-rushing culture for a younger guy like Harold Landry. Well, Marcus Golden is certainly capable of doing that. He is a guy that is a leader. He's someone that some of the younger edge defenders, O'Shane Eximinus, Bruce Carter, they learned a lot under Marcus Golden. The Giants just, I don't know that they're in a situation where they're going to bring him back because of those younger guys. Golden is 29. I'm fine with a four-year deal. I'm fine with getting that guy in here and allowing him to be that guy on the opposite side of Harold Landry. And also, most importantly, this is a guy that you're not going to see get sucked up and allow that edge to not be set. He's going to always have that outside contain for you. So that's big. In my opinion, he's the best guy for the Titans to sign. A lot of people like Dante Fowler. I get it. One of the guys that has drawn comparisons to Dante Fowler is Jonathan Greiner. So you could still get your Dante Fowler light, right? A younger version of it, and have a guy in Marcus Golden who will come in and help out. But there are other things that you could do too, because I really am firmly in belief that Kamale Correa needs to be brought back. I really feel that way. If you look, 6 of the last 8 games, he has sacks. He's a guy that everything was effort. You've heard what Mike Vrabel has said about him. He speaks very highly about his effort. And, you know, he was right. It's not always perfect, but he knows that he's going to get maximum effort out of Kamale Correa. His agent, David Cantor, I'm sure he's going to work to get the best deal for him. I just think the best situation for him is right here with the Tennessee Titans. So if they could do those moves and draft Greiner, I think they'll be in really good shape. So that's my take on it. We're going to have Greinhardt on in a bit, so make sure you definitely stay tuned for that. We're going to go to a commercial break, but before we do, just make sure we keep you in tune. Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes. Look us up, Talking with TD. Subscribe, that 5-star rating. We both will appreciate it. You will appreciate it also, because every week you know what we bring you. Outstanding content. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah, talking with TD back from the break. We playing Nashville artists, right? Young Buck, because we have a Nashville product. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to dip into the backyard and bring out what's right there in front of you. So we're going to bring in Purdue tight end, Bryson Hopkins. Bryson, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? It's good to be here.
Definitely, definitely good to be here. And as I said, a Nashville product, Answorth High School. Man, I went to that facility last summer, and wow, crazy.
Yeah, a little bit like Hogwarts, kind of a lot, but you know.
Yeah.
The worst part is just walking across that courtyard in the middle of the rain.
It's crazy, man. So how did you end up at Answorth High? What's your high school story?
Well, actually, before then, I went to Wilson Elementary, and I went to Grassland Middle School. All the way up until 8th grade, my mom just decided to switch it up and pay for private school. She put us in Answorth. My brother was in 7th grade. My sister was in 5th. And we just rode it out till then. But, you know, it was a great switch. I obviously wouldn't add it any other way, considering the way that it all unfolded. So.
Yeah, and one of the other switch it up kind of things that you did was taking up, you just happened to take up football. What was your decision making? Like, why did you end up taking up football at that point?
Basketball just wasn't going the way I wanted to. I wasn't getting the offers that I wanted, the looks. You know, I had a few nice schools, but nothing big, and definitely nothing that was telling me I could even play in the NBA. You know, that had been my dream since I was a little kid. So, football really just sounded like the way to go. I talked to my coach. He persuaded me one day to just come out and try it during spring ball. And I went out there just kind of being more of an athlete than a technician or knowing anything on what to do or how to do it. So I was just kind of running around using my athleticism. And after making it through that first year, I got my first offer from Purdue University.
And here we are. I'm going to kind of put that basketball thing in the pocket. I'm going to come back to that. But I remember last summer, right, Sirius Radio, Sirius XM NFL. Like, you happen to be related to some guy that does a lot of their training camp things, you know, your pops.
Yeah.
and I remember walking the field, the practice field, before the Titans went out there and practiced. And he was like, hey, man, you know, what do you think of my son? And I was like, I played the role. Who is that? Who are you talking about? He's like, oh, you know, Bryson Hopkins. You know, and it's funny because when I started watching you, this year. That conversation that I had with him and the pride that he uh-huh. had on his face when he mentioned you, I always think about that, you know. So definitely I need to know that your father, and it's not, no secret, he's very proud of you.
I appreciate that. He makes sure he tells me, but...
Yeah, but it's different when you hear it from somebody else, right?
Exactly.
And I remember, you know, because I was like Rondell Moore, you know what I mean? So I remember watching Purdue. I'm like, let me watch. Wait a minute, who's this tight end? You know, and that was you. So you definitely popped out there. What's some of the feedback that you've got from your dad throughout the whole, you know, your whole college career?
Just really focused on, you know, take it in, like, enjoy it. You're only going to go through this process once, so make the most out of it. And if I'm going to commit myself to something, commit fully. So there's no question about what I wanted to do and the goals I wanted to attain. And there's nothing in my way that's stopping me with that a little effort won't get me there. So that's really been his mentality the whole time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And even in watching you play, you run pretty good routes, you know. And then even as a tight end, especially a guy like yourself that will get flexed, you have to be able to find that soft spot in zones. What kind of work did you put in? Like, what did you do to be so comfortable with your routes against man and then also just being able to settle in those windows against zone?
Really just great coaching. You know, it all starts in the film room. Just knowing what you're going to get before the game. So that preparation you put in, knowing what coverages they're going to play and what type of leverage this player likes to play on you based on their coverage. So first and foremost, you would say start in the film room. But then second, just getting out and working on the routes with your other tight ends or any coaches during practice, doing extra, anything to just turn it into more of a motion so that way you don't have to think so much and you can play quicker, because all thinking does is cause hesitation out there. So really it just comes in the preparation and how much you've gone through it and how much you've studied the film. Because the film's going to tell you everything, where the pockets are, which way you need to turn based on this guy's leverage. If he's inside leverage on you, you know, he doesn't look like he's playing man, you're probably going to just zone, sit, hook outside. That's where the ball's going to be coming if the quarterback and you are on the same page. So that's really the key to it.
Yeah, and you mentioned getting the quarterback and you getting on the same page. Is it just reps that does that, watching film together? Like, I've heard all types of things. You know, for me, when I played receiver, it was always about reps, right? And my quarterbacks and I, we used to run routes. I would run routes, they'd throw, and we just would do it over and over again. So what's the key for you?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how quarterbacks get their favorite guys, is through practice. And the reps that they take and how many balls they're willing to throw to this dude because they trust him. So really in practice is where it begins, is just those reps and him realizing that he can put it up in kind of difficult spots, even for some smaller guys like Rondale. You know, you trust him as a receiver, even though he's, you know, he's not the tallest guy out there, but he's got great hands and he uses his body real well. So that's why he's a favorite at target, plus, you know, his ability after the play. But you know, you call me. I'm not here to talk about Rondale, but, you know, But
I love it.
it's really just that trust that you have with a quarterback that you built up over time. So,
yeah, you know, that's the salesperson in you, man. Like, you majored in selling and sales management. So,
yes, sir.
Hey, I had another guy on, and I told him, John Robinson, he listens to this podcast, right? So, I want you to sell yourself to John Robinson as far as why the Titans need to pick you.
Oh, all right. You know, really what I like to say you're going to get in a player from me is versatility and just the willingness to do it. As a tight end, you know, there's not a single expectation that you can have of what your job is. It may be receiving and making big plays down the field, or you may be stuck in the whole game blocking because the run game's working well against this defense. And there's a willingness to it, and also when you're going to do it the best you can. So that effort that you put into it and that you show that you want to be out there, you know, there's a willingness. Just like blocking, half the battle is just willing to do it, stick your head in there without any hesitation. So I would like to say versatility, an athlete, flexed out, a willing technician in the blocking game. You know, I realize it's part of the game, and I've liked it. I've built a passion for it, and I take pride in my blocking. Same thing, I take pride in using my athleticism while flexed out in the field. So just really a playmaker who enjoys the game and wants to just help contribute to the offensive success.
If I'm not mistaken, you were voted as the tight end of the week down there in Mobile. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. On the North team.
On the North team.
Yep.
Yeah, how did that experience go for you? One-on-ones, I want you to get into that, get into one-on-ones and blocking as well. Like, overall, as that experience is concerned, how did that go for you?
Yeah, overall, I think it went really well. It was good exposure for me, just for people to see me and actually see me in person and the way that I move and just test me. Also, you know, the competition, it's the best of the best down there. You're not going to get much better. And as far as what we learned just as players is how detail-oriented and how much of a job the NFL is and what we're really preparing for all these months before this draft. But overall, it was a great experience. I think I learned a lot from the players, you know, especially the practices. The coaches did a great job of just making sure we were really, if you were going to mess up, do it full speed, like go 100%, because, you know, it's okay. We're here. They're here teaching us the material with 6 days they've got to teach us all this. So, you know, it made it a little hard, but they did a great job of just breaking down the material, making sure we understood it so that we could go out there and just play football. And, you know, the competition was good. One-on-ones went well. I think I had one of the Jalen, actually, from Notre Dame, the safety. He really stood out there. We had some good matchups. And even in the blocking, I think once game time came, I really showed that, you know, I can actually contribute in that aspect of the game.
Now, I told you I was going to put basketball in the pocket. Well, I'm taking it out now. And you look, was it Gerard Parker? He watched you play pickup basketball and offered you a scholarship. Not to play basketball, though, to play football.
Yeah, right.
So obviously there are traits that are transferable. So what are some of the basketball traits that you have pulled and applied it to what you're getting ready to get paid millions of dollars to do?
Yeah, okay. I would love to say quickness of the feet. First of all, you know, on the court, y'all, you're just running up and down. You know, in order to make these cuts and these moves on people, you got to have your feet down. And also, I would just say spatial awareness in the basketball court, just playing defense, whether it's man or zone or whether you're on offense, realizing who's cutting or who's backdooring and all this. Like, just having that spatial awareness. Even when it comes out for football, when you're trying to find that green grass and zone coverages, it does a great job of just making sure that you know who's around you so that you can move accordingly and make the right moves in order to extend the play. But really just an overall athleticism. I think it takes a different type of athlete to play basketball. You know, you can be fast and break tackles in football, but it's just a different type of athleticism with the hooper.
One of the things that always stood out to me, before I came here to Nashville, I was in Philly covering the Eagles. And I remember I had a lot of conversations with Alshon Jeffrey, who was an outstanding hooper. And he would always tell me that contested catches were so easy for him because it was like catching a oop or a tap dunk off a rebound. Is that something that you could kind of relate to? Like, can you get that same feeling, that same idea?
Yeah, of course. And you know, I can't say that I was just touching oops on people and running it down the middle and dunking on everybody. But, you know, it's the same with the basketball. You know, having that vision, just realizing when you're going to get the ball and how to jump up and make those contested catches or even on rebounds when you're fighting. You got those people just throwing elbows into your rib cage and you still got to go up and get this ball. So I would say there are definitely some areas that are more easily transferred onto the field than others. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot.
And if you look, it's no coincidence, some of the best tight ends to ever play this game were hoopers, right? Tony Gonzalez, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
Those are some names that I'm sure that you've watched. But who are some guys, if you had to pick someone in the league whose game reflects yours, who are some guys that as you would think of?
You know, I'll be a little bit ambitious here. I'll say I like George Kittle. I try to mirror myself after him as much as I can. He's got the complete package, you know. He's disciplined and gives great effort in the run game with his technique, and he makes huge plays in the receiving game as a tight end, you know, whether it's just a first down or running it, touching the pass 10 yards down the field and making a 60-yard play after the catch. So I think he does a great job. But, you know, I think Zach Ertz is another player I like.
He's routes.
Tight end. He's, yeah, exactly. He's got great route running, disciplined in everything he does, great leverage every time, and he makes everything look professional. So
it's funny you mentioned George Kittle, because when you mentioned him, the first thing that came to my mind was that long touchdown you had against Indiana.
He kind of had a similar one. He one-handed it, but, you know, whatever.
Either way, you had a date with the end zone. Then your first catch, a 51-yard touchdown. So I guess it's safe to say no stranger to making big plays.
Yes, sir. It somehow just gravitate towards me.
Now, Kittle, he works out here in Nashville. Have you crossed paths with him?
No, I haven't crossed paths. He's actually at a different facility with a different person. You know, I had the opportunity to work out there. I didn't even know Kittle was really working out there that often. But, you know, I still like where I'm at. It's where they put a lot of the guys in my agency through, and the results are coming out. So.
Yeah, I mean, Darnell Mooney, I believe he was working out there. I had him on the show last week.
Yeah, at the or not at the combine, but he's fast. I mean, I know you saw his 40, but he's just a great disciplined player. Like, his cuts and all of, like, his route running is just so smooth. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's sharp. He's sharp. But like you said, we called you, so we got to talk about you. And 4.66 at 6'4", 245. I think that's impressive. 4.28 short shuttle, and that's a test that I think gets lost in the whole mix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shows change of direction. So that's there. 21 reps on the bench. Hey, I mean, I think it's safe to say that athletically, you're what a team wants. I want to ask you something else though.
Mm-hmm.
What for you has been the best way to get comfortable catching the football? Because that's an area I saw just kind of keep moving up. You know what I mean? Like a steady improvement with that. So what for you was the key to doing that?
You know, of course, before practice, after practice, did a lot of jugs, but also just having the confidence out there on the field and not worrying about what you're going to be doing after the play or who's coming to hit you. Mm. The only thing that matters before that ball is in your hands is that you keep your eyes on it and your hands are coming up to the ball. So as long as you keep your eyes, see it all the way in, secure the catch before you focus on what you're going to do after, what move you're going to make on this defender coming up or who's going to hit you, then that's how it works. And also, like I said, jugs, a lot of jugs. That's what I did, and it helped me. I saw progression from the beginning to the end of the season, so something that I've been just working on.
Yep, make it habitual. I definitely agree with that. Pro day is when for you?
April 2nd.
April 2nd. So are you're going to be at the local Nashville, the Titans local product, I don't know if you call it pro day, whatever it is, workout, or will you be there?
I am not sure if I will be there yet. I have a few other things set up on my schedule, but no one's contacted me yet for it, so we don't know yet.
Okay, well, hey, look, the tape is out there, so one way or another, there's a good chance that you end up here. Bryson, I appreciate you. I wish you the best. And, man, hopefully down the line we'll be crossing paths again, and you'll be catching passes from Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady. We don't know who it's going to be,
man,
but whoever it
that
is.
That would be a dream.
Yeah, hopefully that happens.
That would be a dream. But thanks again. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, man. Take care.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD. Started from the bottom, now we're
here. Back from the break, talking with TD. For my next guest, I started to do the Sonic the Hedgehog music because he has speed for days. But, you know, we'll drop a little Drake on him. We are going to Texas, and we're bringing in wide receiver Devin Duvernay. Devin, what's going on, man?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to start off looking at what you did in high school. And one of the things, whenever anybody asks me about you, I say, well, you know, this guy is a 6A Texas State champ in the 100. We're talking about a 10-2-7.
Yeah.
What makes you not a track guy playing football, but a football guy that can run fast, that has track speed?
Oh, yeah. I like to always consider myself as a football player that happens to run track, because, I mean, if it's flipped around, you know, people kind of think you're soft or
yep.
you know, not physical. But I'm the other way around. I like to, you know, be physical, be aggressive, and, you know, play with that chip on my shoulder. And track was just something I, you know, kind of did just to keep up the speed and, you know, just stay fast so I could translate it over to the football field.
So something you just kind of did ended up being the state championship in a state like Texas. I mean, that's not anything that kind of, you know, shake a stick at. I mean, that means you were doing something.
Yeah.
So how did you end up at Texas? Let's talk about that a little bit. I know you had a different commitment at first. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. Yes, I was originally committed to Baylor. Was a few days out from, you know, actually moving in. You know, things went down with the coach and the team and whatnot. Had the option to, you know, pursue other options. So I, you know, because we didn't know what the future held for Baylor, what the coach's staff was going to be like, or, you know, really anything. So I kind of just went back through the whole recruiting process, that kind of first summer session, and just took a visit down to Texas and, you know, just enjoyed it. I had had prior coaches and stuff like that, and kind of knew what they're about and how they were and things like that. And then I loved Coach Strong and his staff and, you know, the city of Austin, and kind of felt like, why not? So, I mean, I decided to go with that.
And in high school, you were a running back, then you switched to slot. You got to Texas, you played on the outside a bit, and then you moved inside to the slot. Really seemed like you blossomed as a slot guy. So what is it about playing in that slot? And I'm not going to, you know, box you into that one position, because you can play on the outside, but what is it about the slot that seems to really bring out what you're able to do?
Our offense was very slot friendly. We got there's a lot of opportunity for that position to get the ball in space and kind of just showcase the skill set of, you know, just running after the catch, getting yak. You caught a lot of stuff over the middle, you know, deep, you know, screen, bubbles. We were out the backfield, you know, kind of just. That position just allowed me to be more versatile and make things happen when I got the ball in my hands. So,
is that something that kind of happens with you, like becoming a running back right away, like reverting back to your running back days? Because you look at some of the slants that you caught, you know, especially, was it the LSU game? You know, you broke that tackle and you outraced everybody to the end zone. What is it that allows you to just – become a running back as soon as you get your hands on the ball?
I mean, just receiver. I like to think of as being a receiver until you get the ball, and then it's go time. You mean just run as hard as you can, as fast as you can, and just try to make people miss. So just play the game, as I like to call it, and try not to let, you know, just one man bring you down. Be an athlete, and coach used to always say, just, you know, just earn your scholarship when you're one-on-one. So things like that I like to think of.
And then in watching some of your games, you know, especially when you're at the slot, you seem to do a really good job of settling into those windows against zone. Is that a feel thing? How do you get that ability to be able to find that window and just know exactly when you got throttled down or post up for your quarterback?
Yeah, it's kind of just a feel thing and just going into a lot in practice, you know, just practicing it, repping it, getting comfortable with it, and just kind of knowing where holes will be in, you know, certain defenses. So, yeah, that comes down to just, you know, film study and coach preparing us for, you know, for that week.
Is that something that you've always had in your repertoire, or is that something that just kind of came along as you continue to progress?
I mean, more on the outside, we didn't really have to worry about too many zones and whatnot and fitting in the holes. So, I mean, it kind of just came along when I moved to the slot and just, you know, kind of just, you know, feeling it. Like I said earlier, it's kind of like a feel thing and, you know, just, you know, play what you see. Don't try to overthink anything or, you know, make anything any bigger than it already is. So, yeah, just, you know, fill it out and be an athlete.
Now, how about hot reads? Because that's something that you're going to have to do at the next level. I mean, teams, they will blitz. So what's the key to being on the same page as your quarterback as far as knowing where you have to go when that blitz is coming?
Yeah, just having good communication. Our quarterback, you know, always pointed out hots or what he wanted to check the route to and whatnot. So just being locked in with him, you know, just helped us, you know, always just be on the same page because we know, you know, any given play, any blitz can come, any play can be checked. So you just always got to be ready as a receiver as a whole.
Now, in addition to that trust and being where you have to be, another part of the trust is knowing that you're going to catch the ball. That's what a quarterback, he has to be confident in you if he's throwing you the ball. I mean, your catching ability is I'll say it, it's elite, right? I mean, no drops, as a matter of fact, throughout your career. So how did you develop such strong hands? Is that something that started, you know, when you were younger, working with your father and with your brother, or what was the key part of that?
Oh yeah, especially just, you know, working with them. And then in high school, I remember every summer we always just, you know, caught balls, caught tennis balls, caught off the jug machine.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that, just made sure, you know, you kind of kept your hands polished and, you know, always stayed on point. And then you just saw my carried on to college. Just whenever I had some free time, you know, just catch some balls here and there, catch some tennis balls, just things just to keep your hand-eye coordination, you know, up to point and making sure you don't, you know, lose your rhythm.
What would you say was your favorite game that you had in your career there at Texas?
Favorite game? Probably had to go with LSU game was fun. I mean, we lost, but that was a fun game. You know, it's always all the games. OU is always fun.
Yeah.
You know, playing in the big games are always fun. You know, I remember freshman year Notre Dame, 2016, I believe. That game was a blast.
You mentioned the OU game, and you kind of went right where I was hoping you would take me. And let's talk about it, right? You're related to Kyler Murray. So the Red River Showdown a couple years ago, was there a lot of trash talking between you and him leading up to that or after it?
Nah, not too much trash talk. We knew, you know, real recognized real. We just, you know, go out there and do our thing. We knew we were both good players. So, you know, we just do our thing. You know, not too much trash talk. Just, you know, play the game, treat it with respect.
Now, another game that stood out to me was the TCU game. So I'm going to ask you this. Who would you say is the best corner that you had to face? What corner, you know, you felt gave you the best challenge?
Corner? Didn't necessarily face too many corners this year, you know, since I was in the slot. But,
I mean, throughout your career.
Yeah. Okay, throughout my career. Oklahoma State, A.J. Green's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty solid DB. I remember, I think my freshman year, there was a dude named Russell Douglas on West Virginia.
Whoa. All right. I covered Russell his rookie year when I was in Philly covering the Eagles. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Long corner right there.
Yep. I remember going against him, me and Colin talked about it, being a decent matchup.
And then what about the Senior Bowl? What are some things that stood out to you? I mean, you and Colin got to go down there, you know, together. What were some of your takeaways from the Senior Bowl?
I mean, just the whole overall experience of being able to, you know, play against, you know, great DBs that excelled at the college level, being able to, you know, kind of learn some things from other receivers that also had success, and just being able to be coached by NFL staff. You know, NFL guys kind of do things their way, kind of get a little taste of, you know, what it's like. So, I mean, I'm very, you know, grateful for that whole experience and being able to have that experience that I, you know, I'm never going to forget.
The one-on-ones, you know, did that give you a chance to show that you could run the route tree especially as a guy, you know, lining up on the outside?
Oh, yeah, it did, because, yeah, I was lined up on the outside. So that's a question I've got, you know, a few times, just where I'm comfortable at night, you know, anywhere. So being able to be on the outside and run some routes and, you know, have some success, I think put some good things in people's head.
No doubt about it. Who are or what are some of the things that you've gotten as far as feedback-wise from the scouts that you've talked to and personnel folks?
Oh, honestly, I haven't really got too much feedback. They just say, man, keep doing your thing. Just keep working on your game and, you know, bright future ahead.
Interesting. Because there's a lot that stands out. And yeah, I tell you what's so interesting in talking to you right here on the phone and then also a bit at the Senior Bowl. Like, you're a cool dude. Like, you seem like very reserved, very laid back. But on the football field, you know, like you mentioned, the LSU game, there's a certain safety that's going to be drafted, and you lowered the shoulder on him a couple of times. You know, we see you playing violent football, so what is it that allows you to make that, like, flip that switch? You get on the field, and you're not as cool, as reserved as you are off it.
Yeah, just my competitive nature, just flipping that switch and, you know, getting into a different mode to, you know, succeed on the football field, because it's a physical, violent game. So, you know, I got to be that. To hang with it, and you know, it's something I enjoy doing. Enjoy the physicality, contact. You know, stiff arms, low on the shoulder, things like that. So, as far as, you know, another reason why I love the game.
Do you feel like? Well, I'm not going to ask you if you feel like, because you're going to say yes. So, why would you say you're a guy at the next level that could be used in so many ways? Like, I picture you as a guy that could line up in the slot, stretch the field, work the middle of the field. You could work on the outside, do the things you have to do there. But then also, I see you as a jet sweep guy. I see you as a guy that teams will run those tunnel screens to. There's a lot of things I could see an offensive coordinator doing with you. So why is it that your skill set is something that will allow a coordinator to do so much with?
I mean, yeah. I mean, just I feel like my versatile skill set is very different. You know, not too many receivers, you know, bring what I can bring. And so being able to, you know, do things with the running game, the passing game, screen game with me will allow coach, you know, open up the playbook more and, you know, allow, you know, other things to become more open and prominent in the offense.
What about in the return game? Is that something that you could bring to the table as well?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I did a kickoff return, and, you know, I look forward to doing it.
So it's kind of buy one, get three free?
Yes, sir.
That's what I told my employer when they interviewed me. I said, it's buy one, get two free. I could do it all. So it makes sense. So I guess just to wrap it up, what would you say is the biggest thing that you bring to the table? Like, if I have – okay, John Robinson, the GM of the Titans, he listens to this show. So he may be listening. Tell John Robinson why he needs to focus on drafting you and why you will help the Titans.
Because he's going to get a hardworking kid that's going to leave it all out on the field every practice, every game. And, you know, a guy that's just versatile and can bring you many things to the offense and, you know, help team win a lot of games.
There you have it, folks. I had to bring you this interview because as you hear me constantly, this is a name I'm always bringing up, Devin Duvernay. Always bringing him up as a guy when you ask me about receivers. So, Devin, I really appreciate you coming on. Definitely wish you the best. When's your pro day?
April 1st.
April Fools. That's what you're going to be doing if you pass up on Devin Duvernay. Dev, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the time.
All right, take care.
Yes, sir. You got
the
tunes on,
huh? Alright, you hear the music. Back from the break, talking with TD. This music means one thing. We got a dog on the line. A cute dog, that is. You know what I mean? Yes, but a dog on the football field as well. We are shooting to Florida. We got edge defender Jonathan Grenard. Jonathan, what's good with you, man?
Yeah, everything's good. I'm actually back in Georgia for the time being, just getting some rest, and I'm still stretching and working out while I got the time.
Hey, listen, I I wish you were here in the studio because, you know, I would have asked you to go ahead and hit us with a little bit of that Q-Dog step. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you play that. That's a given. I got to.
You probably were wherever you are getting ready to hit that step,
hey,
man.
Hey, I started bouncing around a little bit.
It's only right. So I want to just kind of get into you as a prospect, just kind of start from the beginning. How did you end up at Louisville? And then eventually on to Florida. What's your story as far as going from Georgia to Louisville?
Yeah, so I originally got recruited by Coach Grantham and Petrino to Louisville coming out of high school. Wasn't heavily recruited, but I just basically didn't use that to my advantage. And once I got to Louisville, redshirted my first year, had some really good guys in front of me, made a lot of good friends and things of that sort, and kind of molded me to the player I was now, or I am now. And pretty much I just soaked it all up. I always continued to work my butt off as if I was ready to play right then and there. And, you know, it worked out for me. And once the 2018 season came, 2017 was a really good year for me as well. I did pretty solid. But I wanted to build off of it and go into the 2018 season in hopes of eventually going to the NFL draft after that year. But had a season-ending wrist injury, dislocated my wrist. And tore a lot of ligaments in there, did a lot of damage, and pretty much sat me out for the entire year. And I knew that I could possibly double up on classes and graduate early. And, you know, the way the season was going, I kind of had a feeling I already knew that our head coach would probably be fired. And once I seen that happen, I knew that Coach Grantham, which was my defensive coordinator who recruited me, he was down in Florida. And it kind of just made sense for me to just go down for my final year and try to capitalize on that last year as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. You pretty much stayed ahead of you were proactive instead of reactive,
right.
So I respect
exactly.
That. Well, while you were at Louisville, and I asked you this at the combine, but I didn't get to record it so my listeners could hear. So can you just tell me a little bit about your relationship with Elvis Dumervil, some of the things that you were able to pull from being able to meet with him and talk to him?
Yeah, so I actually met him my freshman year when I had redshirted, and I knew that I was wearing 58, the number that he wore, obviously. And I was initially surprised by how he wasn't that big. Obviously, he was more stockier, but he wasn't that tall. You know, when you think of edge rushers or pass rushers in general, you know, you think about guys who are 6'4" plus. You know, long arms. You know, lean frames. But he wasn't that. So instantly, I knew a guy like him was just he was obviously naturally strong, and he basically just used everything as far as from film work and everything as a technician to make himself successful on the field. And he's a hard worker, so I just watched him, and I realized we kind of have similar traits. Though I may be a little bit lankier in the frame, but our pass rush moves and kind of how we go about our game is somewhat similar. So I kind of did idolize his game a little bit coming up, even when specifically he was at Baltimore, because I kind of just watched how, you know, he bend and, you know, got tackles off balance and just kept him guessing. So I still use that to this day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I actually got to spend a year in Baltimore with him. I covered the Ravens when he first got there, and that's right. The thing that amazed me, because like, they list him as 6 feet, 6'1". Man, he's not that. You know what
at
I mean?
All.
But you would just see him literally. It was like a bouncer. Like, you go to the club, right, and there's somebody rowdy in the club, and a bouncer grabs him and just escorts him right out the door. And that's what he was doing to these tackles. And I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's short, stocky, and it's kind of hard to block a guy like that. I mean, like I said, you kind of think about pass rushers being, you know, these long, lanky guys, but many don't know is that leverage is everything. So when you get a guy of his stature that can effectively use it, he's a force you're working with.
What is it about your get-off that makes you such a dangerous edge guy, you know, coming off that edge and doing what you do?
Man, I mean, it's time is money. So I always try to make sure that I get the advantage by coming off the ball as hard as I can. It's a race to the quarterback. So anytime, and I've been trying to be first in everything all my life. So me trying to be able to beat anybody and everybody off the ball to stand out on film, which is what I like to do. I want to stand out and be different from everyone. I pride myself on doing that, whether it's at the end of the game or end of practice. I literally want to just make sure that I am working hard just to get off the ball as much as possible, even when I'm tired. So, and it works out for me.
Can you speak to the balance in your game? Because that's something that has stood out to me. Like, you have so many one-trick ponies, right? They're a guy, you put him, okay, it's third down. We want to go ahead, go in there, see ball, get ball. But with you, it's different, whereas they use you that way. But on first and second down, it's still time to get money on those downs for you. So what is it about that?
Yeah, like I said, I was a pass situational guy coming in high school when I literally just came in on third down to pass rush, and that's pretty much all I did high school. I never started a game on defense in high school. I came in on third down, and I played tight end and receiver most times, so I didn't really ever have that title as a every down guy because I wasn't really big. But once I got to college, I just prided myself on working out, getting stronger, getting faster, getting bigger, so that way I can be on the field at all times. So me doing that and having that same mindset coming down to Florida, which led me to play, you know, 70-plus plays a game, which was nothing to me at that point, just from a conditioning standpoint. So you got to earn the right to rush the passer, and that's all I've been taught. That's all I pride myself on doing is making tackles for loss, and that way I can get to the pass rush situation.
So would you say that's what drives you, just the constant mindset of I have to earn the right to do what I do?
Exactly. That's all I've been doing. And I hate coming off the field, and that's another thing. And I know if I'm not doing my job on every down or winning my job on every down, then it's a chance I come off that field. So I go in there like it's my last play.
So we'll move on to Florida. But before we do, I have to ask you this question. Because I went to Louisville, and I found a place right by the stadium that was unbelievable. Tim Page's Barbecue. Did you ever go there?
Oh, man. No, I never did. Uh-uh.
Oh, see, I get it. You were down there eating right. Me personally, yeah. when I visited, I wasn't eating right, so I get that, you know. But moving on to Florida, that was kind of like a prophecy fulfilled, right? I mean, because as a kid, you had the jacket on, right? The Gators jacket.
Yeah, that was my dream school coming up. Being in the Georgia territory, I mean, me being a Florida fan was frowned upon, but I honestly didn't even care. I just wanted to make sure that I get to my dream school. So when it came about, that was a no-brainer.
And then one of the games that stood out to me, because what I always like to do, right, if I'm looking at a guy and just trying to project how he'll go in the NFL, the best way to do it is to watch him playing against other guys who are going to go to be in the NFL, right? So we talk about Isaiah Wilson, Andrew Thomas. That mm-hmm. game that you had against them, you know, it was a solid game. What right. was that experience like, you know, going against two bookend guys like that?
Right, it was good. I mean, I always used to watch them on TV, and obviously everyone sees their O-line is massive, which they are. They are the biggest offensive line that I ever faced in my life. But overall, I didn't care nothing about that side, which I never do. So going into that game, I was coming off that high ankle sprain still, kind of still was playing in that with that ankle sprain too, just trying to tough it out as much as possible. But I had to play in that game, and that whole thing as far as, like, it was a do-or-die situation. You know, if we don't win, then we're not going to the SEC Championship, or we're not going to the playoffs. And that was all I just had in my mind. So my drive as far as playing from the first snap to the last snap, I made sure that I was trying to impose my will on them and make sure that I can put myself and my teammates in the best situation to win.
What would you say was the biggest thing that Coach Grantham taught you or the biggest lesson, like what would be the biggest thing that you could pull away from your experience with him in the years that you spent together?
But if anything, he taught me more about the game, but he also taught me about the game and taught me how to play fast and not to think a lot. He kept the game plan and the plays pretty simple. Obviously just took some time to understand football, and if you understand football, his system is fairly easy. So but overall, it was good. He's a technician, he's a perfectionist. He always wants to be on the same page as far as on intent-wise and technician-wise and even in the playbook. So if you do your part on there, it's good.
How did that prepare you for the next level?
Easy, because, you know, I had coaches that were loud like he is, and he's very intense. I had guys that were more pat-you-on-the-back type coaches. So being in different coaching styles helped me out a lot. So being with him, and he's had that experience in the NFL, and especially with guys of my stature and putting those guys out there in the league who, you know, play my position, I soaked it all in. So being around him is just one of the greats, and he's well-respected in the league, so I think that's going to help me out in the long run.
And then if you move on to the Senior Bowl, like, I wanted to talk to you out there, but, you know, I couldn't get to you because there were scouts and personnel folks mm-hmm. talking to you. And I was like, listen, I'm not going to get in the way of that. So what's some of the feedback you got from the many personnel people that you spoke to?
Yeah, they like me as a pass rusher, but most teams, they just want to make sure that I can, you know, drop just a little bit. I ain't got to be able to have DB hips or nothing like that, but just to have solid enough hips that I can drop in coverage so that way I can possibly make myself more versatile and being on the field at all times like I say I want to. So then being able to see that, I can do that, it helps me out a lot.
How did you like your experience down there in Mobile? You feel like it like projected you to the next event, to the combine?
Right, yeah, it pretty much was that. I mean, it was literally the combine, but we're just on the field practicing for a game. So, to meet with coaches, you know, psychological testing, which you didn't. I mean, it was also plus because if you do the psychological testing at the at the Senior Bowl, you'd have to do it at the combine. So that helped us out too, gave us a little bit more time to get off our feet and rest. So everything was pretty good. So I definitely enjoyed my experiences, everything that I kind of expected. But yeah, it was a dream come true to play in that game.
And then, folks, just to give you some numbers, just to kind of understand what we're dealing with here, we're talking about a guy who's 6'3", 263, right? And he had 15.5 tackles for a loss, 9.5 sacks, 52 tackles, 1 interception, 4 pass breakups, and 3 forced fumbles. That's what I would call a box score filler. But then if you look at the numbers at the combine, 4.87 40, 22 reps, 4.34 short shuttle. I want to go back to the 22 reps. You did that, and you told me you were going to bench, even though, you know, the whole wrist situation. So where are you health-wise with the wrist? Well, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, so with that wrist injury, basically kind of I lost a little bit of range of motion just because of the significance of it. I basically fell trying to catch myself. I was trying to catch myself while falling. And once I did that, it basically tore up my ligaments, and it was a bad, bad break. I mean, well, I wish it would have broke, but I dislocated the paralunate, which is something that's real key in there. However, I just basically put a brace on it that doesn't push my wrist back too far. And then if I strike my thumbs up like you're taught to do, I'm fine. But everything else, I mean, it took time to adjust just because of the motion that I lost. But benching, I didn't start benching until this time last year. So for me to have that, to do that 22 reps was really huge, not only for myself, but just to show the teams that, you know, this won't be an issue moving forward. And obviously, like you said, 15.5 TFLs and 9.5 sacks. I mean, some going right. So they can worry about it if they want to, but I produce.
Yeah, and I'm not going to overlook the 52 tackles also because, I mean, that's something I look at as an edge guy, right? That means you're making plays against the run too.
Exactly. So, that's what I said. I'm a playmaker, so I just want to make sure that, you know, I had my mental block a little bit just off of, playing D-line and having a wrist injury, not being able to – or to not thinking that I'll be able to use my wrist or hands the same as that way, but – getting out there against those guys and, you know, being in the SEC week in and week out, it definitely helped me to make sure that I got that confidence back in me.
And then looking at the pass rushing moves that you have, give me the first tool in your toolbox and then a counter that you like to go to off of it.
Well, first, I just got to get off the ball first. If I get off the ball, that kind of scares the tackle a little bit to make him kind of get more jumpy and get out there, try to cut me off. And if he doesn't match my get off, then I go initially with my side swipe to rip, which is more so a power-ish move somewhat, or bull to rip. But then, you know, if once they kind of see that and they have to sit down a little more, I can kind of get them upfield and give me a counter spin back inside, which I love to spin. So once I do that and they get off balance, and it works out for me in the long run.
I saw comparisons to Dante Fowler in some of the things that I read. Are there any particular guys that you've watched or guys that you feel kind of reflect what you bring to the table?
Kind of like more of a DeMarcus Lawrence. I like his game a lot just because I use the cross chop a lot. And more so, you know, he can bend pretty well, but he's not the best bender, but we kind of have similar traits as far as that aspect where we have really solid hands. And if we defeat the hands, you beat the man. So he does a really good job of that, and he's a playmaker in both aspects. So I kind of like to look at him because, you know, you can watch the Von Millers and, you know, Khalil Mack, but those are once-in-a-lifetime players. So
yeah.
I kind of like to watch guys at kind of my speed a little bit and, you know, kind of give me something a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, no, I can respect that. And then I know that you got to spend some time with the Titans.
Yeah.
Their scheme, like, it's a match. in my opinion. So what's some of the feedback you got from them, and why do you feel that, that you're a match for what they do on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I got a pretty solid feel for them. I actually have a meeting with them before the combine, just, you know, just talk ball, you know, kind of, I mean, not come on, before pro day. And we're just going to talk X and O, just want to see where my head is at, you know, get a feel for it, the coaches as well. But, yeah, breaking down the system, when I met them, it was a pretty good fit. It's kind of like what I do now. You know, they like nine techniques to be game workers, and that's kind of what I've been doing all my college career, playing in the nine and just going. They don't have the guy thinking too much, and they just want to make sure that we destroy plays.
And before I let you go, listen, I got to ask, man. Can you just, you know, hit a verse for me, man? Because, we you know, we got female listeners out there. So, I want you to bless them with a verse. You know, just sing a little something for them.
Outside, man, and my voice a little off, man. I ain't did nothing in a minute. So, I tell y'all what, when I get that part where I get it off in the deal where I get paid for my singing stuff, that's when I'll be able to pop a tune for y'all. But to sit in, I ain't see nothing. So.
Well, you already know in camp what you're going to have to do, man. You already know.
I'm already knowing. Look, but the thing is, you know, the difference is that some money going to be in my pocket then, and I have to do that then.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But yeah, for sure. But no, I'll definitely get y'all whenever another time is, for sure.
Well, folks, that's Jonathan Grenard. As you see, I really like him as a prospect. It's good talking to you just from a personal level, too. So I appreciate you coming on. And man, I wish you the best in the rest of this process.
Yes, sir.
Lloyd Banks giving you bringing you back from the break with that Beamer, Benz, or Bentley. Hey, that's what a lot of these guys are going to be driving, right? Beamer, Benz, or Bentley. Appreciate Devin Duvernay coming on. You guys know I've talked about him a lot. You know he's one of the receivers I feel will have a really good impact in the NFL. Shout out to Bryson Hopkins, the local flavor. He's one of the best tight ends in this draft class also. And, man, Mr. Heavy Hands, Jonathan Grenard. Appreciate him coming on, too. Before we get on out of here, I just want to, because I didn't do it last week, and I want to do it this week and just make sure that, you know, we give a shout-out to everybody in this area dealing with this tornado situation, the devastation that happened. You know, I got to go out and walk through North Nashville, deliver some supplies to the people that needed it, you know, walk through Germantown. Man, it's just the devastation is crazy. And there are people who lost their homes, and it's a terrible, terrible situation. There are people who lost their lives. Man, I saw it was a young family. I think it was a 2-year-old. You know, that's so sad, man. And you hate to hear and see something like that happen. But one of the things that I'm learning about this city is, excuse my bad grammar, can't nothing hold you down. I really appreciate that, man. And just seeing the way people are out and about, just even if it's just a hug, they're offering that, you know, offering water, offering oranges, offering a hot meal, offering sandwiches, or just offering it to use their hands and pick up the things that are out and about after this devastating tornado, man. And I want to shout out the Titans, because Miss Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans Foundation, $1 million. Man, that's what you call being involved with the community. Not even being involved, being the community. I want to shout out Coach Vrabel, John Robinson, David Quesenberry, Brett Kern, Kevin Byard, Daquan Jones. There's a bunch of guys. You know, Coach Shane Bowen. The strength and conditioning coach, Brian Bell, Coach Pat Sullivan. Man, there's so many of them. You know, I really think the tight ends coach, Todd Downing. These guys literally got out in the community, and I saw them breaking down trees. My baby daughter, Lil Debbie, and I, you know, we got to help pack up a truck full of water, you know, to be taken up to Lee Chapel. It was just really awesome seeing everybody come together. And then you have the rest of the teams in the AFC South Division totaling a joint donation of $100,000. The NFL Foundation, $250,000. Buck Rising. I have to shout Buck out, you know, because this affected his community. And he's put together all kinds of things to, you know, have people just get a hand. So it's been great, man. Jim Wyatt, seeing him, you know, John Glennon, just seeing everybody just come out and support the community and help everyone that's in need. I tip my cap to Nashville. This is why, if I have it my way, I'm a resident of Nashville for the rest of my life, man. I love this city. It only took a matter of days to fall in love with this city, and I'm just happy to be able to be a part of this city. And then even, you know, I'm thankful that I didn't have to deal with a lot of the stuff from the tornado. Fortunately, you know, it passed by us. But for those who do have to deal with it and have been impacted by it, my prayers are out to you guys. And stay tuned. We're going to keep looking to get your mind off of things. You know, but I just wanted to really just take that time to shout out everybody who's come together and pray for those who have been impacted. That's the show. We're going to end it on that note. We'll be back next week. I got something special coming for you, so stay tuned. Until then, I appreciate each of you listening. God bless and good night.